the servant of the Lord must. And it's founded, the lesson's coming from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. Now, if you remember, our theme for this year is the servant of the Lord. A servant I will be in 2023. And we've already talked about what that means in some respects. We've already done some service projects or a service project for the homeless. Some other people are signing up for different things. There's going to be another opportunity in March to be involved in something for our shut-ins. So there's going to be a lot of opportunities to help others. And certainly we want to do that. But there's more to being a servant of the Lord than just helping the needy or helping someone who might be sick. There's more to serving the Lord than just meeting other people's needs. And we're going to talk about one of those today. There's another aspect of being a servant of the Lord. Who is a servant of the Lord? Let's talk about that for just a moment. Oh, before I forget, it's good to see John Kelly here too. Yeah, it's been a while, so it's good to see John. Who is a servant of the Lord? Well, some of you might not be too crazy about our theme. But, you know, I don't want to do anything, okay? Hopefully you don't feel that way. One time I baptized a guy and I wanted to study with him afterwards, continue to study with him like the Bible teaches. We're going to look at that verse this morning. I said, you know, we need to study and continue to study. So, you know, learn more about being a Christian. He goes, oh, I don't want to study anymore. I want to be a dumb Christian. And I thought, well, that's not very good. And I said, you really need to study so you know what you set out for. Well, he wasn't around very much longer after that because he didn't really want to go on and do what God wanted him to do and study and grow as a Christian. So hopefully you latch on to this, a servant I will be in 2023. But who is a servant of the Lord? A servant, if you think about it, must have a master. Must have a master. If Jesus is your master, then you are a servant of the Lord. If Jesus is your master, then you are a servant of the Lord and need to conduct your life in such a way. And that goes for adults and teens alike. It goes for all of us who have been baptized into Christ. A lot of times, teenagers may think, well, I'm a baptized believer, but that doesn't make me a servant of the Lord. I'm still a teenager. Well, no, you're a servant of the Lord because when you put Christ on in baptism, he became your master. And that goes for the adults, too. And what we're going to talk about today and next week goes for all of us who have been baptized into Christ. Being a servant of the Lord involves serving, meeting the needs of others and helping others. But it also involves other things that may not be so pleasant from time to time. And we're going to be talking about one of those things today. According to the Apostle Paul, who wrote this letter to Timothy by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and we're looking at 2 Timothy, specifically verses 24 through 26. We are to be actively trying to rescue those who are being taken captive by Satan to do his will. A servant of the Lord is active in trying to reach out to those who may have fallen by the wayside, who may have returned back to the world. A servant of the Lord is one who is involved in trying to reach others with the gospel, maybe those who have not obeyed the gospel. A servant of the Lord does all of those things. And if we look at our text this morning, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to stand up because this doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right sitting on that stool. Okay, I'll try to get by. If I faint, somebody just pick up the notes and go on from there. Okay, we'll see who the servant of the Lord is. If I faint. Okay, looking up at our text, looking up a little bit from verse 24, and we go to look at verse 15. Starting to look there, Paul gives us great instruction on what our focus needs to be as a servant of the Lord. And remember, if you're baptized into Christ, Jesus is your master. If you're baptized into Christ, you are a servant of the Lord because Jesus is your master. So we go back up to look at the instruction that Paul gives to young Timothy, a young evangelist, and he gives us some good instruction that will help us all to be better servants of the Lord. Verse 15 says, study or be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, who knows how to handle correctly the word of God. The word of God. So a servant of the Lord needs to know and be prepared in the word of God. Study the word of God so that you know how to handle it correctly. So that you are prepared for the task of helping those who are being taken captive by Satan to do his will. Notice verse 16. He says, but shun profane and idle babblings or idle chatter, for they will lead to more ungodliness. In verse 16, he tells us to avoid profane and idle babblings that lead to more ungodliness. What is he telling Timothy here? Don't get caught up in political rhetoric. Don't get caught up in talking about political things that are just going to lead to more ungodliness because somebody's going to get angry. Don't be caught up in that stuff. Don't be caught up in what the world is talking about that leads to ungodliness. Stay focused. Stay focused on the message of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 21, he says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, and he's talking in verse 20, about being a vessel of gold and silver or a vessel of wood and clay. He says we should strive to be vessels of gold and silver that have the word of God. And he says we need to prepare to be that way. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. When we get ready in the word of God, and we start focusing on what our message is and what our mission is, then we are prepared and we'll focus on doing what God would have us to do. And then finally in verses 22 and 23, he tells Timothy, who is a young servant of the Lord, he tells him what to flee. Now this goes for all of us, but notice this. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, and those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. This is all in preparation for verse 24. He says, be prepared, and flee youthful lusts. I like to feel like I'm young. I don't feel like I'm very young right now with this bum leg. But sometimes I get out and do things because I'm feeling young. Sometimes we can feel like we're young again and get out and do things that we shouldn't be doing. And that goes for all of us. So a servant of the Lord needs to flee those youthful lusts, those things that we used to have that caused us to go away from the Lord. Now, before we get into verse 24 through 26, one last thing to note before we look at our text. This lesson today and next week's lesson go together. Next week's lesson is on church discipline. And will come from the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 15 through 20. Next week, our lesson is on church discipline. Okay, 18, 15 through 20. And we're going to focus on how we handle a person who sins against us. How do we reach out to a person who sins against us? How do we do that? That's very uncomfortable to do. How do we approach a brother or sister who is walking disorderly, not abiding by God's will? Someone who has gone astray. Someone who's not following God's word. How do we approach them? How do we talk to them? It's very uncomfortable. Makes us feel uncomfortable. I've been preaching for many, many years, and it still makes me feel uncomfortable. But God gives us the instruction on how to do that. And then how do we reach out to those who are lost? What do we say to them? Our lesson today tells us how God wants us to do that. A servant of the Lord, verse 24, must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. I'm sure most of us have heard the old adage, you can catch more flies with honey than with vinegar. Have you ever heard that? That's what Paul is getting at here. This means that we can get better results when talking with people, when we are polite and considerate and not being rude and insolent. This is true. And this is the idea behind what Paul is saying here. When we approach our brother and sister who is walking disorderly, or anyone for that matter, to discuss a matter that is sensitive, so sensitive about their soul, it is better to be gentle than to go with them with an attitude that is going to turn people away instantly. I'm sure that most of us have been in quarrels before, arguments with others at one time or another. And the outcome most likely was not what we had hoped it would be. We leave there thinking, well, we sure messed that up. We should have approached that totally different. Have you ever been in that situation? Yeah, you have. The servant of the Lord should be gentle, yet firm, when approaching such a subject as trying to keep one from the snares and traps of the devil. This is serious, to be sure. And that's why we need to be firm. But let us make sure that we are maintaining an attitude that our Savior would have us to, an attitude motivated by love for the other person's soul. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle. A servant of the Lord must be able to teach, verse 24. As a reminder, if your master is Jesus, then you are a servant of the Lord. If you are a servant of the Lord, you must be able to teach. Here Paul says that a servant of the Lord must be able to teach. So the first thing that most of us think of is, oh, wait a minute, I'm not a teacher. I never signed up to be a teacher. I'm not a teacher. I don't know how to teach. Well, in God's eyes, you are a teacher. We teach many times just by our actions, don't we? But I think what Paul means here is we verbally teach a person who is in danger of being taken captive by the devil. So how do we prepare ourselves to be a verbal teacher, one who speaks and teaches others? That's very hard to do. And it makes us feel uncomfortable. And I think that's why we feel so uncomfortable sometimes. We don't know exactly what to say to them. Well, that's why 2 Timothy 2:15 is there. We are to study God's word and be ready to instruct from God's word. We need to know how to handle the word of God correctly. And I'm going to give you an example here in just a minute. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, God's word equips us to teach, rebuke, correct, and instruct others, including ourselves, in how to live right. So we need to know it, so we can help ourselves and others when we need to stay faithful to God's will. This is the responsibility of every Christian. Teenagers, I'm talking to you. Young adults, I'm talking to you. Older members, I'm talking to you. It's not just the elders and the deacons and the preacher. This is everyone. As servant of the Lord, if I'm a baptized believer, I'm a servant of the Lord, and I need to be able to do these things. How do I do these things? It starts with study. It starts with preparing myself for those types of situations. This is a responsibility of every Christian, from the oldest Christian to the youngest, to know God's word to the best of our ability and efforts, and to teach others. I want to repeat that last part. To know God's word to the best of our ability and efforts, and to teach others. I'm wondering if the church in general, which includes our congregation, if people have been lax in preparing themselves to know God's word and how to handle it correctly. Or do we count on the preacher all the time to answer everything and to do everything? Or the elders or the deacons? When it clearly states a servant of the Lord must do these things. And that goes for all of us who are Christians. We have an awesome responsibility. Do you think that we might stand in judgment before God on the last day if we are not making an effort to do this? I think so. I think people are going to stand before God and he's going to ask them about their knowledge, and he's going to know already of the word of God. Let us not be ashamed before God. That's what verse 15 says. Let's not stand before God ashamed. Let us study so we can be approved by God. God's will and be able to share it with others, especially with those of our brethren and friends and loved ones who are in danger of being taken captive by the devil. Now here's an example from the world. Alligators. No swimming. I've seen that sign before in Florida and Georgia, and I didn't want to go swimming there. But what if you had a loved one or a family member or a friend that decided, well, I'm going to go swimming, and ran right by this sign? You say, wait a minute. See that sign? There's no swimming. There's alligators here. Wouldn't you feel compelled to tell them? There's alligators here. Don't go swimming. It's going to cost you your life. Well, what about this? What about in life? When we see our friends, our loved ones, or whatever, who are headed for drunkenness, who like to drink, who like to get drunk, do we feel compelled to say, wait a minute. Do you know what you're doing? Do you know that God's word teaches us not to be drunks? Do you know the damage this is going to cost you in this life, to your family, to your financial well-being, to all of these things, to your health, not to mention to your eternal soul? Wouldn't we want to tell them and warn them and teach them a better way? God's word is there for us to do that. How are we going to tell? What foundation are we going to have to tell them that drunkenness is a sin? God's word. What about homosexuality? You know, jumping on the bandwagon is the thing to do. Well, if it makes them happy, if they're in love, who am I to say that that's not okay? I'll tell you who it is for you to say that it's not okay. You are, and me, are a servant of the Lord. And the Bible plainly teaches in Old Testament and New Testament that the practicing of homosexuality is not acceptable to God. It is a sin. And if we see someone that we love, we want to steer them clear of that and to advise them this is not the way to go. Amen. Wouldn't you do that to save their eternal soul? You do it for an alligator. Wouldn't you do it for their soul? That's what I'm getting at. That's what God is getting at. You must be able to teach. Teenagers, we see friends all the time heading in the wrong direction. Do you ever say anything to them? Well, that's their life. They should be able to do what they want. Adults, we're in the same boat. How do we react to those situations? You see what I'm saying? We need to be able to teach. We need to be able to use God's word and know where these things are so that we can help others to be right with God and hopefully save their eternal soul. We also need to know that for our own good. And we're going to get to that in just a moment. The next thing, verse 24, a servant of the Lord must be patient. Here's one trait that is hard for most of us, including myself, patience. I have talked to a lot of people before and warned them of the dangers that lie ahead for them, encouraged them, pleaded with them, etc., used God's word and shown them. Then what? I sit back and wait. I sit back and wait. Wait for them to respond. And that's the hard thing to do. You've warned them. You've shown them God's word. You've encouraged them. Now what? They look at you and they walk away. Or they say, thanks for telling me. And then they walk away. And what do? You just have to sit back and wait. Many times we warn someone, encourage them, and then expect immediate results. That's very rarely going to happen. Very rarely. That is not the way it works most times. Most times people need time to think about what you have talked to them about. Sometimes it may take two or more efforts or times for us to go back and to talk with them again, to get the message through to them. I know this by personal experience. I've done this with members of the church. I've had to go back on a couple of occasions and talk to people before they respond in the way that God wants them to. But we must be patient with them. So what do we do in the meantime where we're waiting and trying our best to be patient? We pray. We pray for those people so that they will respond to the exhortation from God's word. We always need to use God's word in this. Why? Because that takes us out of the formula. This is God speaking to them through his word. We read the word to them. It makes us feel really uncomfortable. And I know some of you are saying, well, I'm never going to do that. Well, we need to rethink that. I'm going to give you time to think about that, okay? I'm going to be patient. I'm going to be praying. It's very uncomfortable. I hate doing it. I remember one time I told Mary I had to go talk to somebody. I said, I'd rather been beaten up with rods by a gang member than to go do what I have to do right now and go talk to a brother in Christ. I don't like it. But you know what? If you were here Wednesday night, I'm sure Jesus didn't like what he went through for us. Man, if you missed Wednesday night, you missed one of the best devotionals we've ever had. I left Wednesday night feeling ashamed because I had been complaining about certain things. And then I saw what Jesus went through for me. And I just felt ashamed that I would even complain about what is happening in my life when I look at what Jesus went through. He asked us to do it, we need to do it. And then again, starting verse 25, a servant of the Lord must have humility. You know why we need to have humility when we go and talk to other people? Because this could be me that has fallen due to Satan's snare. It could be you. We could be the one in danger. We could be the one that's ensnared, that is trapped. None of us are immune. The devil works on us too, just as hard. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3 and verse 23. That includes me. So I need to be humble. Be careful not to lord it over a person. Like having the attitude like, I'm better than you are, because for certain we are no better than anyone else. It could just as easily have been me on the other side of some of those discussions. And sometimes I've had brethren come to me and I have been the one caught in the trap. And I'm so very thankful that my brethren loved me enough to come and face me face to face and share with me what I was doing was wrong. Because you know why? It saved my soul. If I repented, which I did, and I turned and followed after the Lord again, that brother or sister coming to me saved my soul, possibly. I'm no better than anybody else. We're no better than anybody else. And that Paul told the Galatian brethren basically this same thing that he's telling Timothy. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, brethren, if I am overtaken in any trespass, or if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Those who are spiritual restore such a one in gentleness and humility, realizing that could be you that's caught in that snare. And again in Ephesians chapter 4, verses the last part of verse 1 and 2, he says, walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Some of the hallmarks of a servant of the Lord are their gentleness, their humility, and lowliness of heart. We have to keep in mind our goal here. And in verse 25 and 26, he talks about the goal. The goal is to show them God's will so they will see the real danger and help correct them using the Word of God. That is our goal. This is why knowing the Word of God is so important. God expects us to help others escape the clutches of the devil, using His Word to do so. That's what a servant of the Lord does. When I see you struggling in your faith, when I see you in the clutches of Satan, when you see me struggling, when you see me living in sin, God expects you to come to me. He expects me to come to you and reach out. Hopefully, so that you will be granted repentance. And that's the ultimate goal. To get the person to turn away from Satan and turn back to God. Literally, that they may come to their senses, he says. They're not thinking correctly. They've gotten off track. They've gone after Satan. They're not thinking correctly. They've lost their senses. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Remember Luke 15, the prodigal son. He lost his senses. He lost his mind, basically. And then he finds himself in the pig pen, and then he comes to his senses, and he realizes how far he's come from where he should be. And that's what we need to do sometimes. Sometimes with my kids, my grandkids, they act up. Or they do something silly. And I look at them, I said, have you lost your mind? Have you lost your mind? Do you know what you're doing? What if a brother or sister came to you in Christ, and you're not living right, and they said, have you lost your mind, brother? Have you lost your senses? People have come to me and basically said that. And I agreed with them. I had. That they may escape the snare of the devil who has taken them captive by him to do his will. Oh, the deception of Satan. Getting people to think that true freedom comes when we are not doing God's will. I am free to do whatever I want. My will. No one telling me what to do. Now that's free. That's what the devil wants us to think. That's the trap he lays out there for us. And sometimes we believe it. No, that's not free. What we've done is we've been taken captive and are now in bondage to Satan to do his will. That's what he wants us to do. Isn't this a powerful passage? Speaking to every servant of the Lord. You see how important we are to each other. How much I'm counting on you. How much you should be counting on me. That when you lose your mind, when I lose my senses, when I lost it, and I follow after Satan, I know I have a whole army of people, a whole body of people that's looking out for me. And maybe one or two or three or four or 20 or 30 or everyone will come to me and say, Jim, have you lost your mind? Do you see what you're doing? Look, this is what you're doing. You're doing exactly what God doesn't want you to do. This is what he wants you to do. Follow Jesus. Follow his will. That's what God is asking us to do as servants of the Lord. And to do it gently. To do it with humility and love in our hearts. So, what must the servant of the Lord be? He must be prepared in the word. He must be ready to stay focused on the task at hand. He must be gentle and not quarrelsome, arguing with people. He must be able to teach them God's will for their lives, our lives. He must be patient with them, allowing them time to think about what they've done and what you're discussing with them. We can't force anyone to do anything. What we can do is encourage them and plead with them and give them time to come to their senses. We must be able to teach them what God's will is for their lives and ours, and we must be humble, realizing it could be me that gets snared next time. And it could be me that needs the help to escape the devil's clutches. And we must be ready to approach them with the proper attitude and the goal of rescuing them from the devil. That's what God is calling us to do. Next week, we're going to build on this because next week we're going to get into what Jesus said about church discipline. And he gives us a formula. And he tells us the formula in Matthew 18. But behind the scenes, this is what we need to learn. We can't do the formula correctly unless we learn to do this first. And that's what God wants us to do. So in conclusion, a servant of the Lord serves others in many ways. One important way is to help others stay on the right path and to help others find the right path. God is counting on us to serve well in this way. And brethren, we have plenty of people among our own brethren, among our own fellowship right here that need to be rescued right now, that are out there, that have lost their way. That's why these sermons are so important. And I wish more of our members were here. But I'm glad you're here to learn this. Because next week we're going to talk about it again a little bit. God is counting on us to serve well in this way as a servant of the Lord. Consider these words as you leave here. Let us ask God, and I'm serious, let us ask God to give us the kind of courage to be the kind of servant he wants us to be. Not only helping the poor, helping each other, but reaching out to those who find themselves in the snare of the devil. Let us ask God to bless us with a proper attitude of love to serve him well. This morning, if you're here, maybe you've lost your way. Maybe you've lost your senses. Please come home to the Lord. Please come home. Maybe you've lost your way. You let the world sneak in and take up your time and draw you away from the Lord. Draw you away from the body. Draw you away from the services and worship. Draw you away from serving him. Draw you away from being involved. You've let Satan draw you away. Come home. Come to your senses today. At times, all of us need to be called back to our senses, do we not? At times, all of us lose our mind in some way, do we not? We need to be called home. And that's what the Lord is doing right now. If it strikes your heart that way and you're that person, He's calling you home. You who are a child of God, He's calling you home. Come to your senses. Be rescued. The Lord will lift you up, make you strong again if you want to, and follow His will. This morning, maybe you're here. You're not a member of the body of Christ. The world you're living in right now is not going to do you any good on Judgment Day. It's not going to do you a bit of good. You may be a great person. You may do a lot of good things. But unless you've obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, what you're going to hear on the Judgment Day is, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." And Jesus is going to be the one to say that to you, because you didn't do the first and foremost important thing, and that is to return His love for you and what He did for you by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's where it starts. If you've never done that, we encourage you to do that today. We have water, we have clothing, we can baptize you into Christ today, and you can start on the best life, the life that is going to end you up in eternal life in heaven with Jesus, your Savior, your Master, someday if you follow Him. If this applies to you, come to your senses and come to Jesus this morning. If you're of sound mind following God's word, remain faithful unto death and enjoy heaven your home. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation today, we encourage you to do so right now while we stand and while we sing.